You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this month's Sci-Fi for Chicks podcast here at sci-fi4me.com. This is Mindy Inlow talking to you from the bunker here in Kansas City. And today with me, I have Ann Labs from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, yeah, you got it.
All right. And then I've got Casey Taylor here in Kansas City as well.
Hello.
And then Jennifer Wise, also here in Kansas City.
Hi, everybody.
And so today what we've decided we're going to be talking about is what our favorite genre is and kind of why, and breaking it down a little bit into three different categories that we come across, and that would be fantasy, science fiction, and horror. And I know that there's a little bit of a, when it comes to science fiction and with fantasy, it blurred line, I guess you could best say. And so I did, in order to do today's podcast, had to think about or look it up to see, okay, what's the big difference between the two? And fantasy, I found, is something that creates the world, where science fiction is making today's world more, I don't know, better, worse, however, but adding to what we currently live in. And horror is just not usually I look into, so you ladies will have to help me out with that today.
Well, horror is the absolute best, so discussion over.
Yay! Okay, maybe we could talk about why we think it's better.
Fine, okay.
Anne's like, I don't need your opinion.
Well, I even have some horror and sci-fi crossovers, so I can pop those in too. So, got a few crossovers.
Very cool. Well, this will be entertaining, and I think we'll all learn a little something new and maybe have a new appreciation for a part of the genre that we don't normally look into or go. Because I mean, anything horror, I think of gross or scaring me, and I don't like jumping. So, well, I mean, you know, in my seat for, you know, when you're anticipating. Okay. I'll jump for joy, but I'm not going to be, not because I'm scared. So I don't actively go and look for, you know, a horror flick. So
I'm with you on that one.
Anne, you said that you're a fan of horror, and it's the
absolutely
best.
Absolutely. Totally.
And why?
I think Edgar Allan Poe was my gateway drug. I remember reading those stories as a little girl, and my parents were so thrilled that I was reading. So they don't look at what you're reading. Oh my gosh, she's reading. And so that leads into watching the UHF. Yes, it used to exist. UHF channels for.
I thought that was just a Weird Al movie.
Spatula City.
You know, watching the Hammer movies and things like that. And it just is something that started me out. I think Edgar Allan Poe, and you start reading, and it's, I don't know. You can't say you enjoy being scared, but the experience of reading it is so intense and enjoyable, and you know it's not real. So that's why I enjoy it.
I have to agree on the Poe thing. That was definitely sort of the gateway for me too. And it led me to other era. So my favorite horror tale, bar none, is The Turn of the Screw, which I've then had people tell me, well, it's not really a horror story. I'm like, it is.
Mm-hmm.
I failed to sleep two separate nights while I was reading it.
I mean, I would say if I had to pick my favorite, I'm primarily a ghost story fan, which is hardly gory and goopy, but the gory and goopy is part of the genre. So it's not my favorite, but
now,
I enjoy it.
Casey?
I'm going to have to go with fantasy as my favorite, but I grew up with the Harry Potter series. I was basically the same age as the trio cast in there, so I really identified with it. So that was what I mostly grew up on, and I love the creation of a whole new world and the imagination that goes into that, and the the vampires I love, which of course kind of overlap with the horror, But all of the supernatural beings, I just absolutely love reading all of those and watching the movies and shows based on the fantasy side.
I agree with you.
I think it's wonderful that people of Casey's age, no offense, are brought into fantasy from Harry Potter. I was a little bit older when the first book came out, or really, I guess, hit big. And Harry Potter is a huge thing in my life, but it's so funny to me to be like hearing people say, "Oh, I'm really into fantasy because of Harry Potter." Because I look at that and I'm like, to me, that's not fantasy, but you know, gateway drug.
I like that. The seven steps of the gateway drug. At that point. And I'm going to agree with you on this, Casey. When I was looking, I realized that when it comes to it, fantasy, I guess, would be the best label for a favorite. I mean, I like all of it, but definitely fantasy, the creating of a world, because as a child, my imagination was just wild. And even as an adult, it's still pretty wild and not tamed. And just to be able to, I don't know, create a better life, create a more beautiful life of some aspect, and throwing anything into it, I do like that. And I like reading books that I have to build in my mind, which makes it really hard to jump from a book to a movie. So while I absolutely love the Harry Potter series, I respect the movies, but I prefer the books way more than that, because I like what I see in my head more than what I'm seeing on screen.
So, and it doesn't match up to what you made up in your head?
No, mine's better. but I was going to ask you, Anne, it was something you had mentioned, with reading the Edgar Allan Poe and then, you know, starting to watch the movies and so forth. And this just kind of came to mind, since I'm not really into horror, the book The Shining. What would you categorize that as?
Oh, definitely horror. I would put it as psychological horror. Mm-hmm. And that's the fun part of the genre, is that there's like a Turn of the Screw, psychological horror that may be a ghost story. The Shining can be seen as a family drama, psychological horror. And that's where I would put it.
Okay, because I absolutely loved the book, and it did all that. Like you said, the psychological, I know other people, it scared more than myself. But then when I went and saw the movie, I laughed my way all the way through it, because I thought it was the funniest film on earth at that point, especially after reading the book.
Okay.
And for the next couple weeks, I was walking around with my finger, red rum, red rum. I mean, and I still do that to this day. But yeah, I found the movie hilarious. And like I said, I have a problem with taking a book and putting it into a movie, because rarely does it live to my expectations.
Interesting.
I guess I'm kind of on that same wavelength, which might be why, especially in fantasy, I generally sort of have gravitated toward these grand masterpiece, you know, writings that are 14 books long, Wheel of Time. And and you know they're never going to get turned into movies, because there's just so much content to cover. We're not talking Lord of the Rings, which was already hard enough. They left so much out. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at something like The Wheel of Time, which is my all-time favorite, but Brandon Sanderson as an author has grown on me so much, and I'm also loving everything he puts out. But you've got 14, 15 novels total, if you include the prequel, I believe, and you're never going to cover all that. You never are. So there's no risk of me having it ruined for myself.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all very, you know, rich in what you believe it to be.
They did that with the Sword of Truth series, which is also around like 14 books, but they did make it into a TV series. And I think with a long series like that, there is so much that they can take from any part of the books. And that's what kind of ruined the TV show, because it jumped so much. You had characters introduced that weren't until like, you know, five books in, and they were in the first episode. So I think having too much of a series to be able to create something with is kind of a downfall for them if they mix it.
I think it makes it safe. I think that because of the case of Sword of Truth, where it clearly didn't work and it's going to dissuade future production companies from trying, I think it makes it more safe, because then I'm like, okay, I can fall in love with 10 plus books in this series and never have to worry about somebody doing it wrong.
I have to stick up for that series since it's on my DVD shelf. I've never, yes, I really liked it. I like the characters, and I know nothing about the books, and I actually have some of the books now. So I hear what you guys are saying as fans of the books, but for many people who don't read them, for example, I have the first two Shadowhunter books here right next to me, and I'm going to start reading them from the TV show. So it works both ways.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, with Shadowhunters too, I saw the Mortal Instruments movie, and that was my first introduction to that series. And I immediately went out and bought the entire book series, and I was so excited to read it, and I fell in love with the series. And then I rewatched the movie, and I was like, oh my God, what did they do to this series? But I love the movie, I love the books, and I love the TV show, all separate and independent of each other, because they tell their own version of the same story.
Exactly.
Well, yes. And I don't know if I'm in the second book or the third book, and because it's on my reader and you can't exactly just stack them up as you finish, but I have heard not to see the movie and to just let it sit. But I am curious with the TV show, just to see what they've done. Now, it's been a while since I've read the first one, but I felt the same way in regards to one of my favorite series is the Aragorn series. And I never did see the movie. And the movie came out before I even picked up the first book. My brother recommended the book to me, and I absolutely fell in love with it and got my mom into it as well. And as much as I liked some of the casting that they did, because I'm a huge Jeremy Irons fan, I've just managed to stay away from it. But the books, I've even got them on my iPod so that I can listen to it at work. You know, I was there when the fourth book was finally released, because I wanted to find out what happened. And I think I was happy with it.
Well, that kind of brings you mentioned The Shining. And to me, I like The Shining movie very much. I also love the documentary Room 237, which is a documentary of people who have their own interpretations of The Shining. Mm-hmm. It's a different, like you guys are saying, it's a different aspect of the book, but it has the essence of the book. So I'm not as upset that it's not verse and chapter and verse, because the version that Stephen King made for TV that was faithful wasn't that good. So just for my thoughts, you know.
Now, one of the other things you mentioned, Dan, and I haven't really ever thought about this, but you mentioned ghosts. Does that, mm-hmm. that would fall under horror?
I would say urban fantasy or horror to me.
You
mean like the ghost hunters and such?
Yeah, and I have to laugh, because I think, except for the last maybe season or so when the main guys have stepped off screen, I think I've seen pretty much every episode. And I have gone on a ghost hunt of my own. And speaking of The Shining, I would love to do the Stanley someday. And so, you know, and I do believe a little bit in all that, but I guess I have never really tried to place it into a category. Of any sort.
You know, those shows remind me of the found footage movies. Where people have their video cams and they go into the abandoned mental asylum. So it's not that far a leap.
Okay.
I've seen plenty of crappy found footage movies, so I can attest that.
I've seen lots of crappy ones and exactly two good ones.
Ooh, okay, which were they?
I don't remember. That's the problem. No, see, this is actually the funny thing, and part of why I prefer stories, I think, to movies and TV. For a while, when I was in college, I was seeing a guy who was a film student and very into movies. And all he ever wanted to do was talk about movies, watch movies. That's great. So I set myself a very aggressive goal that I wanted to, by the time I hit 25, see 5,000 movies.
Wow.
Ouch.
Yeah. Well, it reaches a point where you're like, hey, what was that one movie with that guy? And there were like ghosts, but maybe not really ghosts. And then you're like, I don't know. I've seen 4,200 movies. I've seen a lot of them. But yeah, no, I actually, I do like horror movies and sci-fi movies more than I like fantasy movies.
Well,
but
okay.
9 times out of 10, when we're talking about overall genre, I'm going to come down squarely in the fantasy realm. And I think part of that's because, you know, like I'm a total nerd all around. I play a whole lot of Dungeons and Dragons. I have written and sold some homebrew Dungeons and Dragons campaigns. Mm-hmm. My friends paint minis. I don't because I shaky hands. You know, fantasy is like my bread and butter, and it's what I'm raising my daughter on. And of course, I've also got the superhero stuff. But for me, it's just like, I want to live in that kind of world. Why wouldn't I want to spend every waking moment pretending I'm in that kind of world?
Okay. Now, well, why do you prefer the books to the movies?
Yeah.
It's more my imagination at that point. Mm. Actually, and then you've sometimes got inconsistencies. It's always been a bother to me that now that we have a Hobbit movie, that the young Bilbo in The Lord of the Rings is not Martin Freeman. Like, that bothers me now. And I know that's such a silly thing to be bothered by. But it's this whole thing where I'm like, well, that's not how I imagined that spell to go off. Or that's not how I imagined that battle played out in my mind. Plus, anytime you can actually justify leaving Fatty Bulger out, I don't want to be your friend. I'm sorry, Peter Jackson. You're not coming to my birthday party. Fatty Bulger for life.
Well, and then some of those descriptions that they give you in the book, just trying to put it all on a screen to look at, it's so big and not enough room or space. I don't know the best way to describe that.
But didn't the first series, the Lord of the Rings series, do a masterful job of condensing? I mean, to me, I read the books after I saw the films, so it was wonderful because I didn't feel like there was so much more in the book, but I didn't feel like the movies skimped out.
I guess I could probably see that from a point of view of reading the book second. And this is definitely where bias comes into play. My older sister, Carolyn, used to read the books to me when she was at a level of higher reading than me. Yay, older sisters. And, you know, my mom had like first or second print copies, and for me, it was, I mean, it's almost like the way I revere Star Wars, because Star Wars is what we would watch as a tradition on New Year's Eve. So for me, Lord of the Rings specifically holds that special place. But there have been, you know, series that I watch on TV or, you know, catch a little bit of a mini series and go, I'm going to look into that. And then usually, yes, I do like seeing the media before reading the media.
Definitely. Well, at this point, let's go ahead and take a quick break. I am out of coffee and would like to get some more. And when we get back, I've got a quick question for you guys to think about. You know, we've talked fantasy, we've talked horror, but what about science fiction? We keep avoiding this. So
this is where the arguments start.
So we will be back and find out what it is we don't like.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Jedi, Sith, Tauntauns, no matter which side of the Force you claim, we are your go-to holocron for all the latest Star Wars news, rumors, and innuendo. Imperial Intelligence has got nothing on us. We've got your salacious crumbs every other Sunday at 6 p.m. Central U.S. exclusively on Sci-Fi for Me TV.
SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse. And may the Force be with you.
Hi folks, Jason Hodd here, and if you're a fan of the superhero TV shows and movies, we've got you covered with two podcasts. Level 117, covering the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Rogues Gallery, where we talk the DC Comics TV and film. Whether you're a fan of the House of Ideas or the Distinguished Competition, we've got them both. New episodes of Level 1187 every Tuesday night and The Rogues Gallery on Saturday evening. Only on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
This is meteorologist Brian Busby. If you're traveling to a convention, be sure to check the weather. We have the latest forecast on the convention's page every week at scififorme.com.
All right, so before the break, we've been discussing fantasy and horror, but we keep ignoring sci-fi, and which is not really a good thing, I guess, in a little bit of a way, since we are doing this for scififorme.com, and we are Sci-Fi for Chicks.
That's true.
We do sci-fi radio, sci-fi TV. Oh, wait, sorry, I'm not plugging everything, really.
We're going to have to rebrand this one podcast, Sci-Fi and Fantasy and also Horror for Chicks.
Or one of my podcasts that I do like listening to, you know, is Totally Beverages and sometimes Hot Sauce. So we can be fantasy horror for me and sometimes sci-fi. So, ladies, why are we ignoring sci-fi?
Because it's everywhere.
Because
you can't avoid it.
It's not totally defined?
Hmm.
I think we did an echo chamber a couple years ago about, you know, what is and isn't sci-fi. And I left that podcast just even more confused about my definitions of sci-fi versus other genres. And I guess what I keep going back to, and this is why I didn't mention this during our discussion of horror, is that I love H.P. Lovecraft. I have a complete passion for H.P. Lovecraft. But I'm still just not sure whether it comes down in sci-fi or in horror.
He's a hybrid. He invented cosmic horror. So I'm perfectly fine with him being science fiction. He was the man behind the story of The Thing, but he's also, mm-hmm. he's problematic, but he is one of the giants of the horror genre. So,
mm-hmm. Well, that's just, you know, when you think about, I mean, everybody knows Cthulhu. And even if they don't really know Cthulhu, you know, it's like such a cultural phenomenon now. And then you have stories like that were going to be made into movies. And I'm still on the lookout for Guillermo del Toro's In the Mountains of Madness that we've been getting a yes and a no and a yes and a no for years. I feel like there are some straight horror pieces and some straight, like, hey, that's some messed up sci-fi stuff pieces.
Well, to me, sci-fi is... it's possible. However whacked out it may be, it is possible. Well, and horror and fantasy are maybe more impossible, but you can imagine them.
Well,
does that make sense?
I'm looking, and going back to this, I was looking at what on the internet, going to our favorite research website of Wikipedia.com. It does.
I know you're going to say sci-fi for me, and I'm like, no, that's insular thinking.
Well, and if you go under the fantasy, if you do a search on fantasy, it does go down. And this is what it says. Fantasy can be distinguished from science fiction, the other genre that it is most often grouped with, in that fantasy includes magic and takes place in a world that can never be, whereas science fiction is generally set in a world that simply doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, so it could be.
But yeah. That itself is problematic, because I think we'd all argue and agree that Ray Bradbury is sci-fi, right?
Predominantly sci-fi.
So, well, but when you say, you know, in terms of genre to the average layperson, Ray Bradbury, they're going to go, oh, sci-fi. Mm-hmm. But then you have stories like Zero Hour that they turned into The Whispers and they did an all right job on it. That I don't look at that and really see the source material, Zero Hour. I don't really look at that and see a world that could be. I'm like, hey, unseen forces. Cool. That's anytime. Sure.
So if you're trying to create a world that could be versus fantasy, I mean, is it when it could be? So we're looking at basic just technology.
But then what distinguishes that from the magicians on sci-fi, which their entire notion is predicated on it's our world, but with magic. So how is that much different than it's our world, but with aliens?
Well, because if it was a fantasy, it would be, you could have a magical explanation. Like, Okay. There's a story. If there was a story in science fiction, I would expect it to depend on something like a scientific law or the amount of fuel in the spaceship. If it was a fantasy, you could have a spell for it. I mean, that's how I think of it.
Sci-fi, it's my second favorite of the three options because I'm just not a horror fan, too much like Mindy. But I think sci-fi, it's not as exciting because there are still some limits to what it could be and what it could offer because there's still certain laws that it does have to follow. Whereas fantasy, it can be anything. I mean, vampires and ghosts and werewolves and anything is possible, and sci-fi still has to kind of follow some guidelines.
Okay, so Lynn, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to argue. You guys are actually like helping me clarify my stance on sci-fi here. Mm-hmm. But Dune is set in a future galaxy, right? Mm-hmm. And there's space and there's all that stuff, but then there's also the mystical element. So
I would say I would say that's more of an element. Primarily it's a larger world that exists on laws, but there is it's like reading a romance with a mystery element in it. It's not the predominant part of the story.
Okay.
All right. I guess I can see that.
Yeah. I win.
Anne wins. Podcast over.
You she get a sticker for that.
I guess. Has anyone heard of the story, The Cold Equations?
No.
Okay. No. To me, that defines a story of sci-fi. Someone's on a spaceship. They sneak on, and because they unbalance the weight of the spaceship, either the spaceship will not make it to their destination with life-saving medicine, or the passenger who stowed away has to jettison herself because of the science, because of the equations of the spaceship and the fuel and the passengers. If it was a fantasy, I would expect it wouldn't come down to that, to me. So that kind of defines, when I think of science fiction,
that could be
story.
A reality. Because kind of seen. Okay.
Well, in that case, I guess I've got a pretty good set on where I stand with sci-fi.
You do?
Yeah. All right. Cool. I mean, I do still have like definite favorites in sci-fi, and it's. I mean, aside from Lovecraft, I didn't ever really stop and think, oh, it's a little more fantasy. That's a little more horror. Lovecraft is what throws a wrench in the world. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you can watch a movie like Event Horizon, which is one of my favorite junk sci-fi movies, and it goes into the science, but then is it science or is it monsters or is it horror or just somebody from another dimension that we think is a monster? So that's all.
Okay. So what are your guys' favorite sci-fis?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, let me go a little bit more general. Who are your favorite sci-fi authors?
I can't really say, because if you simply go off what we have been discussing in regards to trying to define it, I at the top of my head, at least right now, I'm not being able to pick out any particular book, or because it seems like everything I've ever really read has been fantasy.
Okay.
Sorry, sci-fi.
You're all right with me.
Anybody else?
Yeah, so I'm a total fantasy kid. We talked about that. But, oh my gosh, you guys, you hand me anything by like Philip K. Dick or Ray Bradbury or selections from Arthur C. Clarke, and I'm going to be like, I'll see you in 2 days. I got to go do a thing, you know? There are... Or maybe one day, depending on what it is.
I would say for me, it was Dune, because that's like you were talking about fantasy novels creating a world. To me, when I read Dune as a girl, and it had a glossary in the back and essays, and it was like I was reading documents from another place that really existed. It was just amazing to me, and that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, you know, I don't really read a whole lot of sci-fi. When I'm reading, it's fantasy as well. But I watched the Divergent series, which the dystopian future falls in that sci-fi category, and I really loved it. I have those books that I haven't read myself yet as well, but I think that dystopian future feel is, which is really popular, you know, Maze Runner and Hunger Games and all of that is kind of what I go to when I go for sci-fi.
You know, Anthony Burgess also does really good dystopia. He's the one who, well, okay, I'm going to make a pitch real quick. I think anybody who hasn't read The Wanting Seed definitely needs to. It fits in with dystopia. It fits in with civil disobedience. It fits in with anarchy. And it's just a heckin' good sci-fi read.
And who is it by?
Anthony Burgess. He also did A Clockwork Orange.
Okay.
And if for any of you in Kansas City, I think I own like 3 copies of this book, so you can borrow.
Oh, nice.
That goes to readers too. Hit me up. I'll let you borrow books. I like you guys. Readers, listeners, everyone.
Well, it's funny, Casey, that you mentioned, I wouldn't even have thought of it with the Divergent series and the Hunger Games. And just, I like the Divergent series. That was good. And I felt it ended correctly versus the Hunger Games. I was so disappointed with that. And
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But no, I wouldn't have even thought of throwing those in there with sci-fi.
You know, I read that dystopian does really have a lot of appeal for me. I've read a one called The Testing Trilogy, where you're placed in this setting. Okay, and you're thinking, how did this happen? What happened before that? And seeing where the society got to that point, I love those. And so I agree that dystopian, even if it's marketed as young adult, I love reading them.
Yeah, I think the young adult genres have a whole lot going on of crossover, and I feel like it could bring younger kids into our nerdy fold, which I'm good with.
I still love young adult. That's my favorite subset. I just, anything young adult, you can give it to me, I'll love it.
Why do you like it?
I think it's a lot of the coming of age stories. So a lot of people like figuring out who they are and, you know, navigating the world that they're coming into, which most of mine, you know, with the Mortal Instruments fantasy side, is some world that I would like to be coming into and finding myself in this new situation that I've never been in, and just kind of identifying with those characters of not knowing who they are and where they belong and all of a sudden finding this place for them.
Excellent. Yeah, watching the mystery unfold, like when I saw The Maze Runner, I saw the second movie first, but it was fun to watch seeing this mystery unfolding. It was very cool.
I love The Maze Runner. I'm a huge Dylan O'Brien fan, though, so anything he's in, I'll watch that. But I love The Maze Runner. I haven't read that series either. It's on my long list of books that I need to read, but I'm looking forward to the third movie. Hopefully, it'll come out.
Well, I heard that they were back on track with that. He had recovered from his accident.
Yeah.
Was he the lead? He suffered an accident?
Yeah, it was a really bad accident. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's rough. So would you prefer, like, generally speaking, Casey, do you like reading or watching more?
Because
you mentioned a whole lot of movies.
I used to read the most. I was really big in, you know, Twilight and all of those when they came out. But I've gotten to the point where I just kind of watch the shows and the movies and figure out from there what I want to read, based on how interesting it is on someone else's imagination, to kind of tell me what I think I'll like based on my imagination, which honestly I hate doing because I feel like it limits my imagination for they've cast this person for this character. And now when I read the book afterwards, then I picture that person. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I read the book beforehand, I would have a totally different vision of that individual. So I don't like doing that, but that's what I do to save myself time now. So pick which books that I think I'll most enjoy beforehand.
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, I you know, just to jump off that question there, you know, I used to read a lot as well, and I consider it now my traveling guilty pleasure, because when you're trapped on a plane, what else are you going to really do? And trying to sit at home and read sometimes it's not very easy, and or sitting at work at a break at my desk, it's just not that easy. And I've come to the point where I do watch more on the television or the computer when it just to build up my knowledge of anything, and even that's a struggle for me. And for a long time I wasn't going to the movie theaters because it was just trying to get there. So I feel a little bit behind on some of this. And when I do, and when I do go into watching movies or reading something, I it's not that I'm doing something new. I'm rereading. And it'll be, you know, I may not listen to music at work. I may be listening to the Harry Potter series on my iPod because I have all 7 books there. And, or, you know, the Aragon series. It's just that way I can listen and enjoy and do what I need to do at the same time without focusing on learning something new. But taking the time to just sit and do something new is kind of hard when you're trying to be an adult too.
That's why I like every year. I love finding copies of the year's best horror or ghost story collections because they're short. You could read them and you might discover a good new author. So that's one of the strengths of the horror genre, especially for a ghost story fan. So I don't have to devote a ton of time, but you get exposed to a lot of different talents.
Well, I always enjoy those lists that come out with like BuzzFeed and stuff where, oh, you need to read these, you know, 10 trilogies before they become movies. And that's actually how I found the Divergent series, was one of those BuzzFeed articles or lists. And so whenever they do come out, whether it's something that has to do with genre or something that doesn't, I take a look because I would rather read it when I get around to it than see it on TV or the movies completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I rely on the BuzzFeed list, and actually Bustle. I rely on Bustle list when they're like, catch these horror films on Netflix before they're gone. Because I'm like, I can do that. I like to sit around and scare myself. That's fine. They're not always good, but, you know, like, I wouldn't have seen Babadook if it hadn't been for a Bustle article.
There's so much out there. I rely on a magazine called Horror Hound. Mm-hmm. And they have what's coming out and what's on Blu-ray. And I say, okay, thank you for winnowing this out for me. This is on my to-do list.
I just imagine Anne just, like, gets home from work after a long day, you know, pets the dog, sits down with a kid's cuisine. Sorry, Anne. They're good food. And then she's like, well, 7 hours before bed, I can find 3 movies if I'm quick. No, hold on. 6 hours and 45 minutes. Got a shower tonight.
Well, it's a lean cuisine, but other than that, and a cat.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, before we finish up here, we've discussed the 3 different, you know, the fantasy, the sci-fi, and the horror. And I mean, we've all seemed to really like fantasy and horror with a little bit of sci-fi fixed in there. Have we discussed enough for you ladies to maybe look into, if you, like Casey and I, look into possibly doing horror, or for all of us, maybe sci-fi?
We're all really bad at our jobs, basically.
Maybe that's a challenge we should give ourselves. We are only going to do sci-fi for 1 episode.
I would say if you wanted to try something in horror, you know, Grimm is a nice one because Maya's not a horror fan, but we both love Grimm. So stuff like that is really fun because there are horror elements, but it's also the fantasy and the folklore. So I would recommend that.
Okay.
What I actually like to do with sci-fi, this is going to sound terribly nitpicky and I'm probably going to get in a fight on social media about it. Come at me, listeners. I do like to watch sci-fi movies and then go back, especially when they first come out, and then go back to Neil deGrasse Tyson's Twitter and analyze all of the things he found wrong with.
Oh, good one.
And it was funny when Prometheus came out, the Ridley Scott movie a few years ago. Prometheus came out, and I do remember specifically, there was some line where they're like, we're 1,000,000 miles away from Earth. And I'm like doing some quick remembering from the astronomy class that I teach. And I'm like, they're at Jupiter? Or like 100,000,000. I don't know. They gave some figure. And I'm like, you're not even out of the inner solar system, guys. You got a problem.
That's awesome.
So if people are sort of like delicate about getting their feet wet with sci-fi, that is a good way to break into it, to watch it not for like the, oh, I don't understand what's going on, it's so sciency, but to watch it for what you can catch and go, now hold on a second.
I call shenanigans.
Casey, any last thoughts?
You know, I found out while I was doing the research and looking at different shows and books that fall in the genres that I actually surprised myself in liking more horror side than I originally thought, because I came into it, I was like, I hate horror and I don't watch it and I don't read it. But I was looking into it and I guess I just never thought vampires are horror. And it was actually a discussion between, are vampires sci-fi or fantasy more than is it horror or fantasy? So I was pleasantly surprised that I actually have more of an introduction to horror than I originally had thought I did. So, but I think,
huzzah!
Woo! You learned something. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what I've gotten.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you on that. Kind of like with you and the vampires, me and ghosts. Apparently, there is some part of horror that I have actually enjoyed in some way, shape, or form, and I'm trying to put it in real life.
I think people might like it, unless you're a horror, it's your main thing. It's nice as an element. A lot of people like that and they don't realize it as an element in a story, but not the main dish. Maybe.
So like Crimson Peak was not, you know, the gasp and jump and gory horror, but that was a really strong ghost story.
Gothic-y element with horror elements, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, anytime that I can watch Tom Hiddleston, I'm like, I'm all right with that.
And we're going to leave everybody with that mental image in our heads, which is perfectly okay by me. Thank you. So I'd like to thank the ladies today that we
thank
have.
You.
Got Anne again in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Casey Taylor in Kansas City.
Yes, thank you.
Jennifer Wise, also in Kansas City.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
And I am Mindy Inlow here in Kansas City as well. And want to thank everybody for listening to us today. We are Sci-Fi for Chicks. And if you have any comments on what part of genre that you like between fantasy, sci-fi, horror, or anything else, please send us a note at scififorchicks@scififorme.com. You can also find us on all of our social media, which would be Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Tumblr, Pinterest, and if for any weird reason,
Twitch,
we are also there. So yes, please leave us our comments. We would like to hear and know and maybe holler back at you on our next show. So until next month, thank you, everyone, and we'll see you later.
This has been a presentation of Sci-Fi for Me Radio, copyright 2017, by Flaming Dog Media, LLC, all rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.